Take your Bibles now, remain standing with me, the book of Judges. Judges chapter number 1 this morning. Judges, right after the book of Joshua. Judges chapter number 1. We'll read 3 verses in chapter number 1 responsively, and then we'll go to chapter number 2. Read some more verses there together. Judges chapter number 1, I'll begin in verse number 27. If you'll join me on verse number 28, we'll read through verse number 30 in this chapter. Judges chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 27, the Bible says, "Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries." Now if you'll go over one page, Judges chapter number 2, we'll read the first 3 verses responsively. I'll read verse number 1, verse number 2, you'll read with me through verse number 3. Beginning in verse number 1 of Judges chapter 2, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this?" Let's finish on verse number 3 together this morning. "Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorn in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a joy to be in church this morning. Lord, to be reminded and to sing about our great salvation. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, thank you for the memory of our country. Lord, thank you for the patriotic spirit that still remains in this country. Lord, thank you for those that serve and that have served and paid the ultimate price for this country. But Lord, we're gathered here this morning to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to you. Please do something that no man can do. Speak to our hearts. Encourage, strengthen, convict. Show us, Lord, what we can do better for you to become more like you. Lord, we'll ask as you fill our preacher with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches, that we yield and that we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I do not look at myself as an old man yet. I'm only 54, but I've been preaching for almost 41 years. God has allowed me to have a lot of experience in the years that I have been doing this. I've lived my entire adult life either preparing for or serving God with my life. That book right there is my life. Serving the Lord is my life. Boy, what a spoiled person I have been. My wife and I have been married be 32 years here in just a few weeks. We've spent our entire marriage in the will of God, serving God. May I say this? I enjoy serving God. I do. I feel sorry for these lame brain idiots that get up and say, well, bless God, if I wasn't preaching, I could have made a lot of money. I could have done this or I could have done that. I'm sacrificing. Folks, I didn't sacrifice anything. I get to serve God. Amen. It ought to be illegal to get paid to do what I get to do. I'm having too much fun. Don't cut it, please. All right. I've seen a lot of things in the last almost 41 years. I have seen, I have met, and I have actually personally known most of the great leaders of what we would call fundamentalism in the last 40 years. I've also watched great works of God crumble. After the leader passes away, maybe the leader retired, maybe the leader just moved to a different place, I've watched great churches crumble. Now listen to me. It's always bothered me. Why is it that great leaders and great works do well under a strong leader, but after they're gone, it almost always crumbles within 10 years? Recently, as I was reading and studying, God showed me a truth that I'm going to give you this morning. Joshua is now dead. Not this one. The one in the Bible. All right? Don't do that. All right? I plan on working him to death, not letting him go now. He has led the Jews into Canaan, but they have not totally driven out the Canaanites from the land. Most, all of the Canaanites wanted to stay, and they convinced the Jews to allow them to stay and work. And the Bible says in chapter 1 there, Judges chapter 1, look at verse 28. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. In other words, they said, look, we'll stay here, we'll work for you, we won't necessarily be a slave, but pretty close to that. And we'll accept lesser wages, we'll accept a lesser lifestyle just to remain and not lose our homes and not lose our land. And the Jews disobeyed God because God said, utterly drive them out. Now listen to me. God told them to drive them out. God did not want the Jews making any deals, any leagues, any treaties with the Canaanites. Our Congress and President ought to take notice of communist China the same way. We ought not be making deals with the devil. For a long time, I thought the reason for this was that these Canaanites would pollute the Jews in their entry into the Promised Land. That may be a small part of it. But I want you to notice in chapter 1 it says, and it came to pass when Israel was strong. They were strong enough to handle it in that generation. They were strong enough to go in and say, look, we'll put you under tribute. You'll pay extra to be here and you'll work for less. And we'll be able to maintain you because our strength is stronger than you. But the Jews didn't change under Moses. The Jews didn't change under Joshua. But the Bible says that after Joshua died, within years, just a few years, they changed. It was the following generations that were destroyed by the Canaanites. Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works the Lord did for Israel. Skip down to verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Can I tell you something? While Israel was strong, while they had strong leadership, and while they had strong fellowship, they were able to keep the Canaanites at bay. But there came a generation up behind them that did not understand the battles that it took to keep the Canaanites from going wrong. Listen to this statement. Did you know that Joshua and Moses were only about 15 years apart in age? They were somewhat of the same generation. Moses had disobeyed God and was not allowed to go into the promised land, the Canaan land. And God said, all right, I'll bring Joshua in. He'll take them in. And by the way, he only led Israel for a couple few years. He was an old man when he went in. He was actually older than my dad. I had to laugh when I talked about in Geezer. That's an old place, amen? The old geezers. But we have to understand that Joshua and Moses were basically in the same generation. One was at the end of one generation, the other at the beginning of the other, that they kind of crossed over there. I think most people, including myself, thought that there was an added generation in there, but there's not. And it seems like as soon as Joshua passes off the scene, or very shortly thereafter, that trouble begins with the Canaanites in the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that were still alive that were adults or over the age of 20 when they left Egypt. They saw the plagues. They saw Pharaoh destroyed. They saw and participated in the crossing of the Red Sea. They saw God provide manna. They saw Moses strike the rock and provide food and water for 3.5 to 5 million people in the wilderness for 40 years. They saw the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. They saw the hand of God as they moved throughout the wilderness for 40 years. Listen to this. As long as Joshua was alive, he was able to keep Israel strong enough to not let the Canaanites rise up. As soon as Joshua passed off the scene, the next generation was not strong enough to contain the Canaanites. They were, by the way, their children were friends with the Canaanites. Their children went to school with the Canaanites. Their children played in the neighborhood with the Canaanites. These weren't bad people. These were people, though, that God said drive out. As long as Joshua was there, they were strong enough to lead them. But the moment Joshua was off the scene, they began to falter. You see, why would they want to cast them out the next generation? They grew up with them. They were friends. They sat in the same schoolrooms. They cut trees down together. Amen, Brother Barnes? They went fishing together. They played ball together. They played in the neighborhood together. They did all those things together. Why would they look at them as an enemy? Listen to this statement. The strong generation allowed their children and their grandchildren to be friends with the enemy. I don't disagree with the greatness of the young people and the generation that won World War II. The heroism of what took place is unprecedented in world history. But I'm not sure that it's appropriate to call it the greatest generation. You see, the greatest generation reared the hippies and the draft dodgers of the 60s. Their parents were the ones that went and fought against what we brought into our public education. We need to learn from the mistakes of the Jews, and I'm going to make a statement here that God makes in chapter 1. We need to get rid of the Canaanites in our lives. Amen. We need to drive the Canaanites from our lives. We need to drive the Canaanites from our family. We need to drive the Canaanites out of our churches in America. Amen. Let me help you this morning. Number one, when we get saved, we are to come out of the world and be new creatures.
Right. Amen.
Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to use our Bible just a little bit here. Look at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means somebody who has trusted Christ as their Savior, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That term passed away literally means dead. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, so-and-so passed away? In other words, they died. God said that when you become a Christian, when you get saved, the old things pass away, they die, and everything becomes new. Now watch this. Turn over one chapter, chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Can I tell you something? When you get saved, God wants you to be changed. I didn't say if you don't change that you're not saved. But I said God wants you to change. We are to leave the old world, the old life, and be more like what God wants us to be. We are to leave the filth of the world, come out from among them, be separate. By the way, what is the definition of church? The word church is a called out assembly. We're still in the world, but we are a slice of what God wants in this world. We leave the world to come to a place like this, to get the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, to have our children in junior church, in the nursery, praise the Lord, and come out from what the world's philosophies are to learn what God said. I'm sick and tired of churches that want to be like the world.
Right.
God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. We're not supposed to have rock concerts like the world. We're not supposed to have motivational speakers like the world. God said it's by the foolishness of preaching that lives are changed. You see, God knows what we do not know. He knows how the world and the world system will keep us from getting closer to Him. Let me ask you a question. The rock and roll churches of our day in our area, are they out winning people to the Lord? The ones that are after your money. There are churches, Berkeley and Jefferson County both, that if you join their church, you have to give them your bank account information, and they automatically withdraw your tithe out of your checking account. Drop dead. It's not happening here.
Amen.
We're not putting an ATM to make it more convenient.
Amen.
I don't have a button in our website that you can pay here and donate here. Say why? God says bring all the tithes into the storehouse, not through virtual money. We're not going to have a place for you to scan your phone and do PayPal for your tithe. I believe we ought to obey God as He wrote it in His Word. Well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you very much. This is the 21st century. I'm glad you know what century it is. Come back next week. We'll ask you what the date on the calendar is. It's not Father's Day. About time I thought I was being smart, found out I wasn't. Amen? Can I tell you something? God knows the draw that the world has on Christianity. Oh, it sounds real good. Let's be like the world to bring them in. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate.
Amen.
Our music should be different than the world's. Our style should be different than the world. I'm not afraid to say this. Our dress ought to be different than the world. We ought to look like, act like, walk like, talk like, and I even say smell like a Christian. You won't believe this. If you told me this, I wouldn't believe you, but it did happen. You can ask my wife. We had been married. We got married in June, and in November, her grandfather passed away. Her grandfather and grandmother just about reared my wife the first several years of her life. She was grandpa's girl. She was the oldest, and she was the first grandkid. So you know she was spoiled rotten. She still is. It was so bad. I was getting ready to leave for work. I had 10 minutes, and my mother-in-law called, and that was the days before cell phones. We actually had a phone in our little studio apartment, 312-square-foot apartment. Amen? That was our entire apartment, not just the bedroom. That was the whole thing, the kitchen, the bathroom, and where we lived. It was small. And I answered the phone, and my mother-in-law said, Craig. I said, oh, Mom, how are you? She said, good, but don't give the phone to Debbie. Okay. And I could tell something wasn't right. You know, I was not a rocket scientist, but you could hear it. She said, my dad just passed away. Fell over dead with a heart attack. I said, oh, my. She said, yeah, I'm going to hang up. You need to tell Debbie. And she hung up. I thought, that's not fair. I've been married less than 6 months, and I got to tell my wife that her grandfather died. And I got to leave for work in 8.5 minutes. My wife was sitting next to me, and I said, honey, I've got some bad news. Your mama just called. She said, well, I gathered that. I said, your grandpa just went to heaven. I said, you call your mom back. You make the arrangements. We'll go. I went to college that morning. My wife did. I left for work at about 2:40 in the afternoon. I got off work at midnight. I pulled back into my apartment at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd been up since 5 o'clock that morning. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my wife, and all the things that we needed for a trip to go to northern Minnesota were packed in, ready to pack into the car. I jumped into different clothes real quick while they packed the car. We left our apartment about 1:20 in the morning, and I drove about 14 hours after that to get to northern Minnesota. I've been awake for a day and a half, drove into the middle of the Arctic tundra. We're talking the last week of November, first week of December in Minnesota. The last 2 hours was a blizzard. It was horrible. I get there, I get out of the car, and this man walks up, and he said, and my mother-in-law was there, and she called him by name. I didn't know nobody. You know, you talk about a man in the land of no nod. On top of having not slept in 2 days, I get out of the car, and the guy looked at me, and he said, you're a Baptist, aren't you? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I could tell you smell like one. Well, I've been told I look like one, been told I sound like one. I've been told I even smell like one. I'm thinking, yeah, if you knew how long it's been since I had a shower, you'd understand why. I'll tell you something. I believe that we ought to stand right, act right, live right, be right all the time.
Amen.
I led a whole bunch of my wife's family to the Lord that week. I got to preach his funeral. Man, we saw people saved. She had cousins get saved. She had uncles and aunts get saved. She had distant people that I'm not even sure were related, but said they were related that got saved. I mean, it was crazy. You know, the world has a father too. John 8:44 says that you are of your father, the devil. This world has a father that is the devil. Can I tell you something? Be careful hanging around people whose father's the devil.
That's right.
Did you know that God wants to be your father according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6? He said, I will be a God unto you and a father of my people. God does not want us to be around the devil. He wants us to be around himself. Now listen to this. Listen to this statement. If you miss everything, get this. When we left the world, we'll use the Canaanites as the world. When we let the world or the Canaanites grow up with our children and our grandchildren, they don't see them as a child of the devil. The real trouble is each generation gets worse because we've been doing the same thing for so long. Brother Scott, why don't you come on up here? Brother Josh, I'm going to need your help. Brother Scott, you do this so well. You're going to represent the world and the Canaanites. Of course, Brother Josh is my son. I'm going to represent Joshua and Joshua's generation. Brother Josh, if you'll take a step just this way right there. If I let my children grow up with the Canaanites and I pass off the scene, is he going to be strong enough to lead against the Canaanites? Is he more apt to pull his family away from the Canaanites? Uh-uh. So my job is to, while he's being reared, is to say, he's got a bad daddy. It's the devil. And by the look on his face, he was real close to his daddy. So you need to stay over here. I know he's a good guy. I know you like him, son, but they're going to pull you away from the Lord. And I stand between them. And as he starts to try to work his way back towards them, I'll say, uh-uh, not right now. Well, Dad, can I go? Everybody's going. Uh-uh. You stay back. We're going to church. Oh, again? Yeah, you need more of it, not less of it. He's not going, you're going, no problem. If you can get him to come to church, we get him saved, then we can work on this. But past that, forget it. You say, why? Because watch, if I pass off the generation and he's standing here, guess who's more apt to lead against the Canaanites? You men may have a seat, thank you. Listen to me very carefully here. Because, and let's put the blame where it belongs. It's not the White House, it's a church house. Because you got a bunch of sissy britches preachers with lace on their underwear, now you got sodomites pastoring churches. You can say what you want. I uphold the role of a woman, but God said pastor should be the husband of one wife.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hillary ought to be home baking cookies, not running her fat mouth.
Amen.
By the way, that's why you have churches that let the government tell them what to do. Oh, somebody might get sick. Let's shut all the churches down. This church isn't going to do that. This church for over a year faced going, this pastor faced going to jail over it. Guess what? We had church anyway.
Amen.
I told you, you might have to come down to Eastern Regional, let Brother Juan let us all in, but I was going to have preaching service in the jail. Say why? Because I believe, according to the Constitution and the Word of God, we were to stay open, and we did.
Amen.
I've never criticized somebody for how they want to handle the COVID. If you want the shot, take the shot. You don't want the shot, don't take the shot. Want to wear a mask? Wear the mask. Don't want to wear a mask? Don't wear a mask. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says it's my job to keep somebody from getting sick.
Amen.
By the way, we're finding out Dr. Fauci, those of us that knew a year and a half ago knew not to trust him, you're finding out, don't trust him.
Amen.
Well, follow the science. I did, and it didn't lead me to where they were at. You see, when we let our children grow up with the Canaanites and grow up with the world, when we're not there, who's going to be their best friends? You think they're going to be strong enough to walk away from them and lead them to right? No, they're not. God said, drive the Canaanites out of the land for the following generations. God does not want us to be like the world to reach the world. Listen to this statement. He wants us to be like him, and the world will see their need for him.
Amen.
God wants us to be like him, not like the world.
Amen.
Well, Jesus had long hair. I'll just grow my hair out. No, he did not.
Sorry.
It was a shame for a man to have long hair. Did you notice just a few weeks ago they found a new statue of one of the Roman rulers in the early in the times of Christ? Did you ever go back and look at the Roman statues of the day? None of them had long hair. You have a sodomite named Da Vinci who painted Jesus with a long hair for the first time. Well, there's the Da Vinci code. Yeah, it's not the Bible code. You see, we've accepted what the world says ought to be. We didn't drive out the Canaanites and live by the word of God. So God tells us, first of all, when we get saved, we're to come out of the world and be new creatures. I believe every Christian, after they get saved, ought to join a Bible preaching Thunder Loudon Baptist Church.
Amen.
Somebody's going to preach the truth.
Amen.
Not mince their words. You say, why? Because they're going to keep you and your kids and the following generations right.
Amen.
Number two, I've got to hurry. We need to drive out the Canaanites, not put them under tribute. Now, I'm going to park here for just a second. And you're not going to like that I spin my tires on your grass. God told them before they ever entered Canaan land to drive out the inhabitants. Judges chapter 2, verse 2. And in verse number 1, and it brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, past tense, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Do you know what the word tribute means? It means a stated sum paid by one sovereign or state in acknowledgement of subjugation or as the price of peace, security, or protection. Let me break that down for us rednecks. That means this. The Jews decided to make money and profit off of people.
Yep.
I'll make money off of them and give them protection as long as they do what we tell them to do. They call it stimulus money. They call it welfare. Long as you do what we say, we'll give you your money. Don't do what we say, you'll lose your money. You see, they were strong enough to keep them under control. But they found a way to make profit. They found a way to make money. It would make life easier for them. They would have people working for them. And they could actually make money off of these people that they were supposed to drive out.
Right.
Can I tell you something? I see that happening in churches. And I use that term very loosely right now. Let's rent our buildings out to the community. There's a church in Berkeley County. I won't use its name. Some of you have been there, and I'm not going to be unkind, and I'll be ethical, but there's a church in this area that built millions of dollars worth of buildings in accordance with Berkeley County, so Berkeley County can have big events there. They accepted government money to build their buildings. I hate to tell you something, but it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before Grace Baptist Church ever does that kind of mess. Be careful. You take government money, you have government control.
That's right.
Say, preacher, are you ever going to open the church up for voting? No. Because if they ever do a special election on a Sunday, guess who gets kicked out of their own building? If there's a tragedy in the area, are you going to let them use this? It depends on what it is. But if you let the FEMA and stuff in, they kick your church out. And I hate to tell you something, during a state of emergency, the church is more important than FEMA.
Amen.
In some ways. They want to set up a field hospital next here in the field? Go for it. Not my property yet. I'm just going to say it. We're trying to make money off the world. There's rarely, I know there's not a month goes by, but there's not many weeks that go by without us getting a request to how much we would rent our buildings out to do weddings or whatever. We have it stated in our Constitution. We do not rent our buildings out to anybody, because the moment you start doing that, you can't pick and choose who you rent them to. That means if the Sodomites want to come in and have an event, they can. And it's not going to happen. Everybody doing okay? Preacher, you're mean. I'm driving out the Canaanites. We have allowed the internet and cell phones into the hands of our children and teens. Now they have access to more evil, more filth, without adults knowing what they're doing. You parents, that right there is the Canaanites in your children's pocket. An iPad is the Canaanites in your children's hands. And it is far more dangerous than you know, because they know more about technology than you know. They have more filth, more evil, more vileness available to them. That is more powerful than the IBM computer was back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I happen to know what I'm talking about. I've got a young man sitting on that row right there and one sitting on the platform right there. They didn't have a cell phone until they graduated from high school. And they had to pay for it themselves. They're like everybody else. They tried to do certain things. But Dad went through the rooms and found them and jerked them out and threw them away. He said, preacher, you did that? Yep, spent their money on it, and I threw it down. I broke it, and they couldn't have it. Say why? That was the rule of my house. Say why? I know the power of what goes on with one of those things. Do you know that when our young people get on the bus, Mrs. Lopez has a basket. She makes them all put their cell phones in a basket, and they don't get it back till they get off the bus when they get home. You want to know why our kids pay attention in church and in junior church and in Sunday school? Because if not, they wouldn't listen. They were playing on the phones. They were doing social media. They were internet searching. They were doing this. They're doing that. Take the stupid phone. Turn it off. There used to be a day when you didn't carry your phone in your pocket. And I don't know a 6-year-old that needs a phone.
Amen.
I don't even know a 13-year-old that needs a phone. We used to have to carry a quarter in our shoe. Y'all remember what? Brother Mike remembers the day they had what they called penny loafers. You say, why did they call them penny loafers? Because you could put your dime in there for a phone call, and that way you always had one with you. I'm old enough to remember some of these things. Now, wait a minute. I'm just going to go ahead and burn some rubber on your road right now. What used to be children's toys and games, adults now spend money and half a day to play video games. We have parents that spend more time on video games than they do rearing their kids. And sitting at a screen going, is not family time. Hate to disappoint you. Well, we're doing it together. We're sitting side by side. If you play more games each day than the time you spend reading the Bible or talking with your family, you have a problem with the Canaanites. I I love hunting. But if I spend more time hunting than I do walking with God and walking with my wife and being with my family, hunting leaves. I'll hang it up for good. You are allowing the Canaanites of the virtual world by Facebook, video games, etc., into your home. Instead of having Facebook, how about you put your face in the book? Instead of you saying what you want to say, how about you read what God already said? Teach your children the Word of God. Maybe they wouldn't spend their life with the Canaanites. Number three, and I'll finish, hopefully. It's amazing how fast the Canaanites destroy the next generation. Look at Judges chapter 2, verse number 3. The last half of the verse. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods, small g, shall be a snare unto you. Verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that lived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of God that he'd done before Israel. Verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Judges chapter 8. Go over just a few chapters. Judges chapter 8, look at verse number 33. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah. That's not the black lady on television. Of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, listen to the words here. As soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again to and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Remember Gideon delivering from the Midianites? The Bible says, as soon as he was dead, they turned to other gods. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that are in your middle years, isn't it amazing how much more serious trouble young people get and how much younger they are getting in trouble? Yes. Young teenagers, listen to me. When I was a teenager, you may have known one or two your entire time in junior high, high school, hearing of a teenage girl getting pregnant. Once out of 4 to 6 years. They now have nurseries in the average public school for the children of the children trying to graduate from high school. Martinsburg High School last year had 119 births. One high school. Babies having babies. I had the radio on for a second this week. Almost had to pull the car off the road. I was so angry I was going to jerk it out and throw it out the window. It was road rage, but not with somebody else. It was the radio. There's an advertisement. This girl calls her friend and says, I'm going to be home, but I'm going to be a little late. And the girl says, well, you sound like you're drunk. How about I come get you? She said, oh, yeah, my health is more important. And the ad at the end talked about trying to save the lives of junior high and high school students from drunk driving. What in God's name are junior highers and high school students drinking for anyway?
Amen.
I could solve the drinking problem on college campuses. Let's ID check everybody and throw them in jail if they're drinking underage.
Amen.
Make them lose their scholarships.
Amen.
Cut the money off, they'll cut the liquor off.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Look how much younger children are that hate and disrespect God and Christianity. Young people that are going out shooting and killing people. There was a day where young people would listen to the gospel. Now they're as hateful as, more hateful than adults were. You can't talk to me about God. I'm a Muslim, or I'm this, or I'm that. You can't talk to me about that. Well, it's America. I can talk to you about whatever I want. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'll use some names. Don't like it? Tough. Highland Park Baptist Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Dr. Lee Robertson.
Amen. Good
name. I love Dr. Robertson.
Yes.
I spent many hours with Dr. Robertson. He was in his late 80s, early 90s. He would come preach for Brother Hiles or be at the college, and I'd get to host him and spend a couple days with him. That old general doc, he'd put his arm between, right underneath my arm, Brother Mike. And I'd walk him. He preached one night. I went down to go get him, and I said, Brother Robertson, do you need my arm? He said, no, sir, but walk ahead of me in case I need to put my hand on your shoulder. I got about halfway up, and I felt this hand on my shoulder. I slowed down and take a step and let him go. Take a step and let him go. When we were getting done, Brother Hiles had him go, and he said, Brother Craig, will you take Dr. Robertson? I said, I sure will. He said, let me just put my hand on your shoulder. The last year he was there, he said, son, let me hold on to your arm. I love Dr. Robertson. Dr. Robertson pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church for 43 years. For 43 years in a row, they baptized over 1,000 converts. The great Tennessee Temple University had trained missionaries and preachers all over our world. You know that the last, I'm ashamed to say this, you know the last 20 years of his life, he wasn't even welcome at his own college and church. Dr. Robertson, down the line, never vary, no. Point number one, love God. Point number two, win souls. Point number three to thrive. Great man of God. Tears running down his face one day. He said, Brother Craig, don't you ever do here what we did at Temple. He said, they don't know who I am. They don't want to know me. Going the wrong direction. He said, I'm not welcome there. About 5-6 years ago, they printed an apology letter in the state newspaper. They had to do that so that Highland Park could go back to the Southern Baptist Convention. They disbanded the church. They disbanded the college. Now it's called the Church of the Highlands, and it's a rock and roll church. What happened? They let the Canaanites in. Camp Baptist Temple, Canton, Ohio. Dr. Harold Henniker. At one time, the largest church in the world would run 10,000 people. Auditorium seats about 5,000. Been in it, grew up there, got saved there. Know it well. I was preaching my grandmother's funeral 20 years ago. Dr. Henniker came to my grandmother's funeral. He had retired. His son had taken his church. He walked up to me. Dr. Henniker was a very tall. He was probably 6'2"-ish. Maybe a little bit less than that. But just a very stately, straight, down-the-line fellow. Very light. He never met. He had a photographic memory. Brilliant man. He looked at me and said, you're Sonny's boy, aren't you? Yes, sir. And I told him, he said, where are you at? I told him. Big old tears ran down that man's face. He put his head on that very shoulder. He cried for about 40 seconds. He pushed himself back. He took that old 87, 88-year-old finger and pointed it this way at me. He said, young man, my son's voting this week whether we take the name Baptist off the church sign. He's destroyed my church. He said, if you're the only thing that the temple ever put out, don't change. Don't change. I said, don't worry, Doc, don't plan on it. It's a rock and roll church to this day. I don't advise it, but if you looked it up, they have their praise and worship team leading their services with people dancing and drum sets everywhere. Dr. Henniger would throw twin calves like you wouldn't believe. He would have a cow. I watched Brother Hiles pass away. I worked for him. In less than 5 years, I watched that ministry go down the tubes. And in 10 years, it's nothing what it used to be. Can I tell you what happened? The Canaanites got in. They weren't utterly driven out. The devil and the Canaanites are patient. They don't care how long it takes, they'll wait it out. They don't care how many generations it takes to get to your kids, they'll wait it out. We need to keep the Canaanites and their philosophies out of Grace Baptist Church. We are not going to have a modernist church. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep preaching this way. We need to drive out the Canaanites out of our homes. You're not going to keep the church pure if your home's not pure. Did you hear what I just said? If you go home and talk about how you disagree with the preacher, you just let the Canaanites in your house. You may disagree with me, but in front of your kids, I think I'd advise you keep your mouth shut for their sake. Come talk to me. We'll hash it out. But for your kids' sake, how about you realize you're not supposed to let them be with the Canaanites? Some of you agree with every word I'm saying and go home and live with the Canaanites in your house. I'm talking about your movies, your Facebook and social media, your video games, your music, your entertainment, and what you do and how you do it. I got to finish. I'm done. We need to get these and those that we love as far away from the Canaanites as we can so that the following generations can experience the greatness of God's blessing. Brother Josh, I'm going to ask you one more time. I am not a great person, but I've done everything I can to keep my family from the Canaanites. Stay there. One day, I'll die. He has a chance to help keep this church going the right direction if we kept him from the Canaanites. Your children and my grandchildren and your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are dependent on he and I keeping the Canaanites out of this church. Because someday, he may be there to be your pastor. I don't know. But if he is, I can look down and say, I kept you from the Canaanites. It's your job to keep the Canaanites out now. Let me ask you a question. Thank you, Brother Josh. Are you keeping the Canaanites out of your own life? It's time to drive the Canaanites out of the land. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Harsh sermon, but one we need. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know that. Would you raise your hand? You may put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Could you raise your hand on my soul? Many, many, many hands. Most hands. Thank you. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand for any reason, how about you come kneel in an old-fashioned altar? If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church. We'd love to have you join our church. Be part of the family here. not just an attender, but a member.